Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
It's easy to forget it living here in comfortable, democratic, free Australia, but right now, in many corners of the world, millions of people are suffering great pressure on account of their Christian faith. Northern Africa is one such region of the world, as churches are being burnt and massacres are going on that we hardly ever hear about. Dr. Kent Hodge works in the middle of that region. He's the head of Christian Faith Ministries, a Bible college in Nigeria, and I'm very glad to say he's visiting Australia and joins us in the Open House studio. Dr. Kent Hodge, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Great to see you. You're originally from Australia, but you've been working in Africa since the 80s. How did that begin for you?
It was in Sydney where I grew up, and I just had a desire. My wife had a desire to work in non-Western country, and after we married, that just developed and grew stronger. And we felt it be Africa. And we're reading a book called Fire in His Bones about a ministry there headed by a man called Benson Idahosa. And we really felt drawn to that work that was going there.
What fired that desire to go somewhere like this?
Well, it's hard to say, really. It's just part of the call of God, really, on your life and part of your upbringing. There are lots of things that are involved in that.
Hmm. As I said, you run Christian Faith Ministries. It's a Bible college in Nigeria.
Yes.
How many young people are you training there?
Well, at the moment, we have about 300 people. For the first 20 years in Africa, we worked with a ministry in the south where we helped train 8,000 pastors for all over Africa. And then 5 years ago, about four or five years ago, we felt that it's time to go to the north and establish a new Bible school where missions is more needed. So it's only about 4 years old, and we're up to about 300 students in the college now training for ministry.
Can you give us a sketch of the kind of people who come to study to be a pastor? What kind of backgrounds do they come from, stories?
Well, a lot of our students are ex-Muslims. They're Muslim converts. Some of them fanatics, terrorist organizations in northern Nigeria. Others come from completely Islamic backgrounds, and they've seen Jesus in visions, dreams, and been called by him without, you know, seeking the Lord at all. It's just been a shock to them.
It's a very common story in Africa, isn't it?
It is very common.
Not nearly as common as we would have in Australia.
It's happening a lot all through northern Nigeria. Where we are there today, and in many other countries, it really is happening a lot.
I'm not going to ask you to explain that, because I'm sure you can't.
Yes.
But how do you process that? What you must have thought about what was going on there.
Yeah, well, we just work with it. We're just thankful that we can go along with what God is doing and just be co-workers and just train these people. God is the one really who's drawing them and revealing himself to him. And we just go along and teach those people.
What's it like for you personally to see these people coming in and undergoing such transformation and being sent out like that?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's really rewarding. And I think the thing that I enjoy the most is the simplicity of their faith. They just have a very simple way of faith in God, a real gratitude too. They're very grateful people for everything God does for them. And they're very forgiving people. You know, they go through a lot of problems. There's a lot of strife. There's a lot of attacks and aggression. And yet they're forgiving and they still have love for those people.
Is it purely their faith at work that allows them to forgive? Or is it something about their circumstances?
I think it's a cultural thing too. I think over the years, life's been pretty hard and tough. It's definitely a part of their culture. But in Christ, it comes total. You know, it's the scriptures forgive those who persecute you is a command that's very real to them and they follow it.
So they're sent out to work as pastors and evangelists. What situations are they going back into then?
Oh, they go into areas where mostly in northern Nigeria, in those states, we have Sharia law. And that's where it's illegal for a Muslim to convert and to become a Christian. And on pain of death, like that, they can be killed by family members. Yeah. And so a lot of places in the north where we open up mission stations, and some of our graduates work in those mission stations. They're in places where there are no churches. And a lot of people are coming to the Lord in those places, and some of them we have to get out to safety, and they stay in what we call safe houses, where we disciple them, and they're also educated as well. Some of our mission stations are burnt down. You know, one recently, the pastor's houses were burnt down, the church building was burnt down. They received a text in the morning saying, if you don't get out of here, we'll kill you. If you keep preaching the gospel, we'll kill you.
And they're serious.
Yeah, oh, definitely serious. Yes. We know people have died. Well, thousands of people have died. Mm. Yeah.
So what do you do with your own sense of fear as you see these people going out? And anxiety. You must have a sense of anxiety about them.
Yeah, well, you do. A sense of responsibility too, that, you know, you're there, yes, with them, and those staff and students who work with you. Like the city where our Bible school is located has been attacked several times in the last 4 years, and it's been extremely serious. And you feel a real great sense of responsibility for those you're caring for.
When you say it's extremely serious, tell us what happens. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's just so easy to say they've been attacked.
Yeah.
In what way?
Okay, well, in early 2010, our suburb was attacked right where our Bible college is located. And hundreds of buildings around our college, next door and all along our street, were burnt down.
Hundreds?
Hundreds of them. Houses and small shops, roadside shops. And hundreds of people were killed as well. And people came to burn our buildings down where our Bible school is, and we had to set a 24-hour watch on them. And in the end, our buildings were okay. But just the terrible brutality around it is just shocking. And then followed that, well, I was there a couple of weeks later, a village a stone's throw from our college was attacked at 2 o'clock in the morning, and every man, woman and child in it were massacred just because they were Christians. And at that point, our students just didn't know what was going to happen next. We heard rumors, and many rumors are true, of what was coming, whether we would be attacked. You go to bed at night not knowing.
I was going to say, you must have a fear for your own safety and that of your family.
Well, yeah, but my family wasn't there at the time, but our staffs and their families were. We had to get their families out to what we thought would be safer places. But the staff and the students were all there, And we said that each of them should seek the Lord about what they should do, and they did, and they all stayed. They are very brave. They all felt.
I was going to say it's heroic.
They all felt that conviction, and we said, "Look, we'll support you in whatever decision you make." And our college even grew during that period. It's just remarkable, you know, with army all over the streets to protect us, and tanks and helicopter gunships and soldiers everywhere. And we really do thank God for the army there.
Yes. Can I read to our listeners one of your newsletters? Here's a quote. Early this year in Nigeria, the northern region began to rage when they heard that the main political party chose a Christian as their candidate for president. As a result, Pastor Dibal's church hall was one among many church halls that were burnt down as Muslims attacked Christians. In Borno State, 11 pastors were killed in one attack, and over 20 church halls were burnt down. Other pastors and Christians were left homeless with no shelter as well as no place of worship.
Yes.
Is there ever a sense that we need to get up, give up, and move out?
Well, not among most of the people, no. They really believe that they need to press on, both to reach the Muslims that are there with the love of God. If we pull out, who's going to reach them? And also for the future of their own children, you know, there's a real sense in that country you can't run away. There's nowhere to. Where do you draw the line in retreating? And there's a sense that either we reach them or they'll reach us, and it's an imperative. We must reach these people with the gospel worldwide, globally.
And is there much response from those people who you reach? I thought that was a very big challenge.
Yeah, it's a great response because so many of them want to receive the gospel. They want eternal life. And with the increase of the violence, we have terrorists up in northern Nigeria that are coming to Jesus, and Muslims that are saying, look, you know, all this violence, it's showing me, you know, is this, you know, what our faith's about? You know, it can't be right. This hatred, it can't be right. And so the more the darkness, the more they're asking questions and seeking the Lord.
But as we spoke to Daniel just a short time ago on the program tonight, Daniel Sahista, it's a very fearful thing for them to be able to do.
Yes.
To convert.
It is a very fearful thing, and that's why we stand to support those people as much as we can.
Mm. So let's get on to some of the good stuff. They are being sent out as pastors and evangelists. Can you tell us about the kind of changes that happen in people, happen in communities as a result of their work?
Well, there's one lady, and many of these are women that are being used as well, and she was just outside of Kano. It's the hardest or strongest Islamic part of the country, a totally Islamic region, and Jesus appeared to her 23 years ago at night, whether a vision or a dream, I can't remember. In the morning, her husband immediately divorced her. The village threw her out. She was expelled. She went into Kano City, where she was looked after by a Christian woman for 1 year. She was discipled. At the end of that year, there was a riot in that city. 2,000 Christians were killed, including that woman she lived with. So she went back to her village. She stayed there for 10 months, was being persecuted, deprived of many things. And eventually, there was a really sick woman in that village, bedfast for a long time, and they asked a Muslim imam to pray for her and a witch doctor, and there was no change. She heard them saying they're coming to get her to pray for her and pray for this woman, and she didn't want to in case she wasn't healed and she was in more trouble. But she did. They made her pray, and this woman was healed. And that day, 65 people came to the Lord in that village. That was about 23 years ago. She now pastors 30 churches in these areas, and I've been in there, other friends from Australia with me. And she has a Bible school there and a children's school. And she has secret disciples that come to her at night and closet Christians that are many there. And this is an area which is very strong that has been transformed from village to village, and where there are now churches in all of those places. And that's happening all across northern Nigeria.
What is it about the Christian faith that so engages these people and turns their lives around, even under such risk?
I think it's God. It's the reality. I think your previous guest earlier, Dan, was speaking about a personal relationship with God, and this is what they have. So it's God actively revealing Himself. Dan was speaking about God revealing Himself to us, which is not something that's in Islam because He's unknowable, but. And God is taking the initiative in these things. It's not us asking people to make a commitment to Christ. You know, all we're saying is asking to receive Jesus, because we're asking really a lot more than that. But once God reveals Himself to the people, the cost is not anything compared to the joy of knowing Him, which is so real to them that is what their focus is on. That they know God. And that's that. It's the riches of that they focus on.
Do you ever reflect on the contrast between what is going on there and the dynamic in the comfortable, wealthy West, where it all seems so hard and often so hard-hearted?
Yeah, in the sense, I think this is in these sort of places where we really do exercise true liberty. That we're not bound by, you know, some of the cultural things and restrictions, but we have that liberty there, and the Word of God is free. You know, we talk about democracies and so on and freedom, but really that we, in Nigeria, we see the Word of God is so free. It's been preached on buses, it's been preached on streets. Everyone is preaching the Word of God.
You're here in Australia for about a month. I wonder what kind of culture shock you go into when you come into the comfortable West.
Mm. Well, I used to a lot more. I think some people call it re-entry. When you come back into a rich nation, I think, I remember 25 years ago going to the supermarket and wondering which of the 10 different toilet papers I should use, and it was a bit overwhelming. But over the years, you do get used to the cultural changes. But again, I love the simplicity of faith there, because God is not their plan B. He's plan A. They have to have His help there.
Yes. I want to read one more item from a recent email newsletter you sent out. It says this: 500 people came out to hear the gospel in a town which is 75% Muslim. A graduate of CFI, Christian Faith Ministries, plants a new mission station in the town. Many have responded to the gospel, and many are also healed. Is that a common story?
It is. In the June-July period, we send out our pastors, and they go all through Northern Nigeria and some across the desert into Liberia and other countries, We had a pastor conference in Egypt last year. We're planning another one this year with hundreds of pastors, if that's what we're planning for this October. And so they go out in other nations, Chad, Niger, and they plant churches, and some of them oversee hundreds of churches in these areas. So that one on, that you just referred to is just one of the most recent churches that has been planted.
How do you feel about going back whenever you leave?
Oh, I'm happy about it, yeah. Oh, sorry?
Whenever you leave the country
here
and visit, visit a country like Australia, how do you feel about going back?
Oh, I'm always ready to go back. I miss the people. We have a great team there of leaders, and I miss them and love to go back there and teach. Very much at home doing that there.
And not at all fearful?
Not really. You do. You fear a bit. But, there are other things people take for granted that I wouldn't like to do. So,
no.
But this is where I'm home at. You know, it's my home, it's my call, and I'm comfortable with it.
Can you ever see yourself doing anything different?
Not at this point, no.
And why is that, do you think?
I just think the gratification you get from it, just the... the sense that you're making a difference, and just fulfilling something that you know is God's purpose and God's call for your life. Walking by faith, you know, everything we do is always impossible, always has been from the beginning, but God always comes through.
What would you say in conclusion to some of those, or all of us, I suppose, living in the comfortable West, about the kind of dynamic faith that you see happening there? What would you say about that faith to us?
Well, I think it's a privilege. It's an honor to be a part of. And I think that God has a call for every one of us. It's different. And to answer that call brings us into a dynamic faith. It'll be different circumstance to what we're facing. But answering God's call and walking by faith is available to every one of us.
Dr. Ken Hodge, it's been a great privilege and honor both meeting you and speaking with you and hearing about this amazing ministry. Thank you very much indeed. Wish you very well.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.